This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can China and Australia get their trade back on track? Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're coming to you live from the BBC World Service. Yes, we're going to start down under in Australia, where China's foreign minister is visiting for the first time since 2017. Things have been tense between the two countries in recent years, and that spilled over into a series of trade disputes. So how did the meeting go? Let's ask the BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney. Hello.
Yes, hi, how are you doing?
What brought us to this point that there's so much tension between China and Australia?
Well, both countries are, economically speaking, interdependent. But in recent years, there have been immense tensions over various geopolitical disputes that has descended into a bit of a trade war between both countries, China imposing restrictions on billions of dollars worth of Australian commodities. But since an election in 2022 here of a Labour government in Australia, we've seen both sides make a concerted effort to diffuse those tensions.
China and Australia, they're meeting up now, first time in 7 years. How significant is that?
Well, Wang Yi is the Chinese foreign minister. He is the most powerful Chinese politician to visit Australia since 2017. No major breakthroughs today following talks between Wang Yi and his Australian counterpart, Penny Wong. But it is this meeting a further sign that very important diplomatic relations between Australia and China are continuing to improve.
Those import tariffs on wine, wasn't it? Well, that was one of the big issues.
Well, Australia hopes that those enormous tariffs on wine will finally be lifted by the end of this month, along with beef and lobsters, but other trade restrictions on coal and barley, for example, that were part of a very damaging trade dispute between both countries, they've been lifted.
And presumably as well, those high tariffs had a cost to Australia. How did Australia cope?
Oh, billions of dollars worth of Australian commodities were affected. And essentially, Australia went elsewhere to try to sell its goods. The Australian government has made concerted efforts to improve exports to emerging markets such as India and Indonesia. But you speak to wine growers in this country, and they worry that their exclusion from the Chinese market over recent years has allowed European and South American producers to go in their place. So when and if these wine tariffs are lifted, it promises to be a pretty tough fight, I think, for Australian growers to reassert themselves in the valuable Chinese market.
The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney. We appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks, Leanna. Anytime.
Now let's do the numbers. $271 million, that's how much France's antitrust watchdog has fined Google for breaching rules it agreed to when sharing content from media groups. And the French luxury group Kering has issued a profit warning. It says that sales of its brand Gucci are likely to fall by 20% in the first quarter, mainly due to a slowdown in Asia. Farmers' protests, we've talked a lot about them, and the latest is that the European Union has proposed some changes to help bring the disruption to an end. The EU was allowing duty-free imports of Ukrainian agricultural products following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but it's going to cap some of them now. Thousands of farmers are due to protest today in Poland, where this issue is a particular sticking point. Listen, we've had a lot of problems with global trade over the years, and this year's big threat to trade is from the Houthi attacks in Yemen on vessels going through the Suez Canal and the Red Sea. It's estimated that 30% of global container traffic, or $1 trillion worth of global trade, moves through that route. The US and the UK have sent warships to protect merchant vessels, but they're now targets too. The BBC's Jonathan Beale has been on board the US aircraft carrier, the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower.
The tempo of jet sorties on the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower has been unrelenting. Operating in the Red Sea, trying to protect merchant ships and themselves from Houthi attacks. We're the first British media on board, witnessing F-18s take off and land almost every minute. This is the air control tower of the carrier where they're just coordinating all the flights. And the man who's in charge here, the air boss, says it's been incredibly busy.
Yes, yeah, this is probably the most flying I've done on a deployment. Every day we're flying a ton, so.
On the flight deck, now stand clear to landing area. Port catwalk and foul lines. Stand by to recover aircraft.
Down on the deck and in the hangar, the jets tell the story of what they've been doing. Silhouettes of bombs dropped and drones shot down painted on the side of cockpits. But the Houthis too have developed more sophisticated attacks using unmanned vehicles. Captain David Rowe is in charge of the four US Navy destroyers which protect the carrier.
This is deadly stuff. You know, ballistic missiles, anti-ship cruise missiles, UAVs, now USVs or underwater vessels.
These jets have been flying missions almost every day for months now. Yet all this American firepower has still not been able to deter, yet alone defeat, the Houthis. The question is, how long can the US maintain this military presence? Even the Ike's captain, Chris Hill, acknowledges it'll take more than a US carrier strike group to resolve this crisis.
It's difficult to define winning and losing in this kind of conflict. Our goal is to restore freedom of navigation. That's all. I mean, that's a whole of government approach. It's an international approach.
But does that mean stopping every Houthi attack?
That's ideally what we want to get to.
And is that achievable?
Hard to say.
There's no doubt their presence has stopped some attacks and saved the lives of merchant sailors. But not all. And these remain extremely dangerous waters. I'm the BBC's Jonathan Beale for Marketplace.
And finally, a remote island off the coast of Scotland has too many Easter eggs, hundreds more than the number of people living there. They only needed 80, but the store accidentally ordered 80 cases. You can send some to me. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.